The Gemara on Vav Amud Beis points out, continues to Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara points out that there are three opinions in the Tanoim regarding Pshara. Rabbi Elazar ben Yosef of Yosef Glili is on the second line from the top of Vav Amud Beis. He is of the opinion it's also to make a Pshara. It means if they come for a Din Torah, so you're not allowed to suggest maybe you like a Pshara. If they didn't come to you for a Din Torah, they came to Aaron HaKohen, or they didn't go to Aaron HaKohen, and someone comes and he recommends on his own, let's make a compromise. Okay, but if they came for a din Torah and the Dayan's going to say, I would recommend the Pshara, that's an Issa, that's Ivus HaDin. His opinion is not accepted. And then the Gemara had another two opinions. One opinion was that it's Mutter to do a Pshara if you want to. And the third opinion was Mitzvah to recommend. You can't force. There are more Paskins and Chashmish, but you can't force a Pshara, because the Pshara is a Psak of Lefnim Meshuvah Sadim. You're not Koifa Lefnim Meshuvah Sadim. The Gemara has bar mitzvah, rare cases where the Bezen has a right to be koifer. And the Ftim Shura said that the Gemara has later, Mem Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara has a famous brisa, that's Bodo Haloch and Chosh Mishpot, that Shamati, She Bezen Makam Yanshin Shaloi Men Adin, that the Bezen has a right to administer Din Nefoshes, even though the person only violated Achil Shabbos the Rabbanon. The Bezna has a right to administer Malkus, even though he didn't really violate a law of Shabbat Torah. He did an act of pritzus. So the Gemara says, Bezna makamem sheshalayim min adin, and it even applies bezman hazeh. So Bezna certainly has a right to, if you have a right to give the Hayroa Shor, the Migda Milsa, you have a right to give Malkus, you have a right to give Misa. They certainly have a right to force a person to observe a Midas Chasidus on rare occasions. But as a matter of principle, usually we assume that you're not koifa on lefnim mishur sadin. So you can't be koifa on pshara, but the idea behind pshara is that it is a psak of lefnim mishur sadin. That's where the Gemara has a machlokes satanan, whether makshinim pshara ledin or loy makshinim pshara ledin. Just like a din is a din tor in yiddish loisha, so maybe pshara is also a din tor. It's a din tor lefnim mishur sadin. So maybe also in yiddish loisha. So that was a there is a machleikah satanai. First, the Gemara thought there's a three-way machleikah satanai, whether pshar biyochid, pshar bishnei dayanim, pshar bishlosha dayanim. So the Gemara said, and what is the machleikah? Whether pshar biyochid or pshar bishlosha? So the Gemara thought either one pshat or the other. Either the machleikah is whether makshinim pshar ledin, loy makshinim pshar ledin, or even if you're makshinim pshar ledin, who says that you should compare, hekesh means you're comparing pshara to a din of gzeilus v'chavolus, compare pshara to a din Torah of hoidos v'alvos, v'echad nami kosher. So the Gemara had the two possibilities. What's the shita whether pshara biyochid? Is that because loy makshin pshara ledin? Or because din Torah itself in hoidos v'alvos would be sufficient chad v'kosher? Like Rabach Rei de Rabika, like Shmuel, but they rise echad nami kosher. So Gemara has that two pshatim. The shot is, what about pshara bishnayim? What in the world is that all about? How do you understand pshara bishnayim? No one says that din Torah is bishnayim. Either the machlokes of Yosher, Rav Yonason, how do you know that you need shloisha? Is it based on the three times Elohim, or it says twice Elohim, and the third one is established, the need for the third dayan is established based on and based on shaka, but everybody agrees that din imamanis, you need a bezna of shloisha. So how can anybody say pshara bishnayim? So the Gemara says, no, there aren't really three opinions. There are only two opinions about Pshar B'yachar and Pshar B'shloisha. And the Tanhu says, Pshar B'shnayim. See, one could have built up a whole argument over here. There's a famous thesis which is quoted, La'aloch and Chashmish, but the Imamascha B'tzua B'shloisha. Thesis says, they don't think that you go Basarayv in a Pshar. If you have a Machlokes in a Din Torah, so the Gemara quoted the Mishnah, Shtayim Amim Chai Vechad Amim Potter, you go Basarav, you give Din in the Foshes based on a Rov. If you have a Bezna of 23 and 13 Dayanim say that it's Chai Misa, 10 Dayanim say that it's Potter from Misa, so you go Basarav and you administer Misa's Bezna. And it didn't turn Din Imam, if you have a Bezna of 3 and it's a split vote 2 to 1, they make him pay the money based on 2 to 1. If you have a split vote on a Pshara, so Tosfos says you don't go Basarav. Interesting. You don't go Basarayv. Remember, I was once on a Din Torah, and one of the other Dayanim was a big Am Haaretz, but he was a professional Dayan. They shout. They're professionals. They know how to scream, and they don't know any halachas. So the both parties agreed to a pshar. So we were fighting about what the pshar is going to be. So the third dayan was an easygoing guy. Whoever screamed loudest, he would agree with him. So the other guy was screaming. So the third dayan was a big talmid chacham, but he was going to go along with the third guy. So I said, but I don't agree. So the screamer said, well, you're outvoted. It's 2-1. So I said, but it's a pshar. He can't outvote me. He never heard of that. Sometimes when the Bavli Dinim agree to a pshara, so they'll write down we agree to a pshara and the shtori berurim we agree to a pshara and we agree that we should go basarayv in the pshara. Okay, if they agree to that, they agree. But here they just wrote they're agreeing to a pshara. They didn't say they're agreeing to go basarayv.
So
I said I can paralyze the bezin. I said I don't agree to the pshara. You can't force a pshara based on a rayv. So this agreement, never heard of that. So the third dayan, who was a Talmid Chacham, a big Talmid Chacham, he said, of course, it says a Chosh Mishpat. Then we were talking, and then I said, there's a Chuba in the Sri Yesh. So the screamer said, who's that? So the one who knows, I learned, said, what do you mean, who's that? You never heard of the Sri Yesh. So he realized, the Talmid Chacham realized, he's dealing with the absolute Amoritz. So anyway, so I paralyzed the bez until we came up with a reasonable pshar. So then 2 years later, there was another din Torah, and they called me up, they asked me would I agree. I said, I have no time for this. They pressured me, so I said, I'll agree to do a boira in a din Torah. So the other dayan was the screamer. So when he heard that I was going to be the bur, he backed out. He didn't want to have anything to do with me. It's very unfortunate. You have the din Torah, the people, the dayanim, are not familiar with halacha. They don't know Gemara, they don't know Shulchan Aruch, they don't know anything. They just know how to scream and pressure for their party, which is not right. That's not what it's supposed to be. Even a pshar is supposed to be a psak, lefnei mishuras adin, whatever Yosha dictates. So that tesis is quoted halacha bitzua b'shloisha, that you don't go basar roif. Rav Soloveitchik gave a hesber why. I don't think that's pshat. Tesis, he gave a different explanation why. See, Tosafot quotes a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, so that Sir Rav Soloveitchik thought that you only go basarayv if, when you have a din Torah, you're fighting in din Imaminus. We believe Moshe Kibbutz Tam Misina. So when you have a din Torah, the Bezna of three is trying to ascertain what does the Torah say on this case. We have a case of din in the Fosha, so you have a Bezna of 23, Saradna of 23. So there's a split vote. They're arguing, what does it say? What does the halacha say? Does the halacha say the guy's chayv misa? Does the halacha say the guy's not chayv misa? So then you say, achiram lahatas. Torah says you go basarav to be mevarer. What does it say in the Torah? By pshar, it doesn't say anything in the Torah. The whole thing is subjective. What do you personally think Yosha dictates in this case? So there's no stira. I think Yosha dictates he should pay half. The other guy thinks Yosha dictates he should pay one-third. The third guy thinks Yosha dictates he should pay one-tenth. And they're all right. So you're not talking about an objective halacha. It's not Moshe Kibbutz Tam Misina. You're talking about subjective judgments. What do you personally think Yosha dictates in this case? So Rav Soloveitchik thought that's the reason, perhaps, why you don't go basarav. That doesn't seem to be what Tosafos says.
You want to say that Yosha dictates pshara? Isn't the pasuk of pshara something to do with shalom?
Yeah.
So is that...
Apsak av lefni mishuris adin. Right, that's what does Yosha dictate.
Mishuris adin has a different pasuk, right? It says, Mishuris adin pasuk has Yosha and the Shalom pasuk has, like, MS Mishpat and Shalom.
Okay.
So Shalom necessarily has to be the case of Yosha, or you want to create Shalom in the community, and is that in Yosha? Yosha adin in fairness, or is it adin in... Or adin in what the right thing to do would be?
Everything. considering everything altogether. What does Yosha dictate? What would be best for the community? Sometimes what's best, what's more fair for the individual is one thing, what's more fair for the community is something else. This summer, I don't even know what happened. There's a where I go on vacation in upstate New York, so for years there used to be a kosher store. Someone would open up the store just for the summertime and sell all the kosher things, cholei yisrael, a lot of kosher meat and so on. Twice as much as cost in New York, but that was their parnos. So there's some kind of an issue, I don't even know what the issue is. So someone wanted to bring the owner of the store to a din Torah. So the rabbi of the community for the summer didn't want to get involved. He said, it's in the best interest of the community not to bring to a din Torah. He felt that Yosher of the community takes precedence over him. I don't know what the issue was. I think renting an apartment or something, whatever the issue was. The rabbi felt, the rabbi is a Talmud Chacham, he felt that what's best for the community should take precedence over what's fair with respect to the rent. You got to take everything into consideration. Yeah? So the Gemara said, Lema, should I say that there are three opinions of the Tanoim, whether you have one dayan, two dayanim, three dayanim? Because one Brisa says, Pshar Bishnayim. So the Gemara says, they don't think so. Lema, there's about eight lines from the bottom of Avam and Aleph. Lema tlosa tanoi b'pshar ma'asav ha'shloisha ma'asav ha'shnai ma'asav ha'biyochid. So biyochid and b'shloisha, we understand. Whether makshinim shor le'din, or lo'i makshinim shor le'din, or whether maybe dini mamanis is biyochid, maybe hodos valvos is biyochid. So makshinim shor le'din, you compare pshar to the din of hodos valvos. So, but how do you explain the third ton of holds that it's shnai? That doesn't make any sense at all. Gemara says it's there never was such an opinion. Gemara says, "Amar Abach Brei the Rabbi, Kavi Tamer Rabbi Yemer Bashalmiya." There is never was a third opinion. Mandi Amar Trei Tanu who says a pshar bishnam afilu chadnami. The Raisa chadnami kosher. That's what Tosis keeps on repeating. Shnaim shadonu. The Tosis hemibay shnaim shadonu, and the other Tosis and other Bishanim say shnaim shadonu. The name din is chadnami kosher. But yevet chad would also be good. So why does one Tanu say pshar bishnam? Says no, it's a different reason why. Monday I'm a try feel a chadnami. Why did come a trick? Echad the levi alei sahadi. You're going to have a pshara, and then no one will be able to testify later on what the psak was. It was here in New York at 20 years ago, 15 years ago. I don't know. There was a nasty din Torah between two shuls. One shul said the other shul is masik gvul on them, whatever. And then after the psak was given. So the shul, the law, sent out letters to all the congregants. We're happy to let you know that we won the din Torah. They lost the din Torah. He sent out letters. He won the din Torah. So that's what the Gemara says. You're going to have a pshar biyochid. So the guy who lost will say, I won. And he's supposed to, the pshar was, he's supposed to give me money. So the Gemara says, we recommend to have pshar bishnayim. The two dayanim will be able to testify later on who won, who lost, what the maskana was. Yeah, usually when you have a psak, let's have a real din Torah, Reuven and Shimon, not a din Torah between two shuls, a real din Torah about money, and then you have a maskana. So usually Bezna writes a psak, and you have either the three members of the Bezna sign, or you don't need the three members, two members of the Bezna sign, or two other witnesses can sign, like a prusbel. A lot of people made out a prusbel on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So the two texts of a prusbel. Either we, the undersigned, constituted the bezin. We have the three members of the bezin sign. They say, we testify to the fact that Pliny, we mention his name, gave over all of his chavis to the bezin that consisted of rabbis A, B, and C. And we testify that that's so. And you have two witnesses sign. You don't have to have the three dayanim. You don't have to have two out of the three dayanim. You can have two strangers who serve as edim to sign. So you have the Eidim sign a shtar. So usually the rule is we have a pasuk al pi shnai Eidim, al pi shlosh Eidim. We have al pi shnai Eidim, al pi shlosh Eidim. One pasuk by Mominus, one pasuk by Nefashis. So the Gemara in Gittin, the final Menalef has a drasha mi pi hem v'lo mi piksov. That there's no such thing as Hagadah Eidim piksov. So Tosis and all the Bishanim ask, so how do you ever have a shtar? You can't, the shtaris don't exist on the level of their Isis. So the Rambam says shtaris are only midirabon. All shtaris in the world are only midirabon. So the Ramban writes on the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah. I can't say all shtaris are midirabon. I get there's a passing of Chumash. I get works minatar. So that's what the Tzaisa Choshen answers. I get there's a different story. I get there's the way we pass can Eidim Mesira Karsi. So I get it's not a called Haggadah Seidus at all. Means if you have a shtar that's signed on the bottom by Eidim, so that's Mipir, we'll even fix up. But by a get, we pass an Eidim Misirikas, you don't have to have anybody signed on the bottom at all. So it's a shtar kinyan, it's a different story. Totally, it's not a Haggadah Seidus picks up. And even if you say that you do have Eidus, even if you don't have Eidim signed on the bottom, the Rambam's opinion is that even though we pass an Eidim Misirikas, There's a machlokes hatanoim in Gittin, a recurrent machlokes every 10 blot it comes up again, every 10-15 blot. The Gemara repeats the same machlokes on Meir and Rav Loza. But the Eidei Chasima Karis, the Eidei Mesira Karis. What makes the get into a safer crisis? Do you need Eidei Mesira? There's no need for Eidei Chasima at all. Or do you say, no, you have to have Eidei Chasima in addition. You need Eidei Mesira also, but you have to have Eidei Chasima in addition. So Meir's opinion is that every shtar has to be Hagadah Seder speaks up. Meir says a shtar raya, certainly. Let's say someone tells the witnesses, write a shtar raya that I borrowed $100,000 from Pliny. They weren't there when I borrowed the money. I tell them write a shtar. So they can write a shtar. That's a shtar raya. That's a shtar raya that the fellow admitted that he owes money. So the Rishonim ask, how can you have a shtar raya? Mipim alom piksovim. So the Rambam says that it's only mid the Rabbanim. And other Rishonim disagree. They say, no, it works min HaTorah. If the writing of the shtar was authorized by the Das HaMeschayev, whenever the loiva admits in the presence of witnesses, I owe him money, and I authorize you, please write a shtar that I owe him the money. So whenever it's, so the writing of the shtar is authorized by the Das HaMeschayev, the one exhumed, the shtar is serving to testify, the loiva admits. The malva says he owes me money, so he's not the das hamischai. He's the one who stands to gain. But if the loiva admits that I borrowed money from him, so the loiva can authorize the edim to write a shtar. So that's what the Taisus and all the Rishonim, they all say that's the answer. Whenever the shtar is authorized by the das hamischai, then it's good. And the Rambam holds that that's not called das hamischai. The Rambam holds only called das hamischai if it's a shtar kinyan. If it's shtar kinyan, so the shtar is going to affect the change. So then it's called the Das HaMeschayev. Shtar Raya, that I owe him money, so what's the Meschayev? He's not being Meschayev himself anything with the Shtar. He says he already owes him the money. If I say, write a Shtar, and by giving over the Shtar, I will obligate myself. Chai bani lochmane b'shtar. If I give you over a Shtar that says, I hereby obligate myself to give you $100,000, I'm going to give you over the Shtar, then you're kind of the Hischayev. So that would be a Das HaMeschayev. That's a Shtar Kinyan. That's creating a hischaivus, that's changing, that's affecting a change. But it was only a shtar raya, so the Rambam's opinion is that that's not called a das hamischaiv. So I'll call upon him all the Rishonim hold that's the rule. When do we allow a shtar? Isn't every shtar in violation of the Pim Olam Piksovam? So the Tosfos in Ksuvos Dav Chav has it. There's a long Tosfos that starts on Amud Aleph, goes over to Amud Beis. And there's a Balamor in Yevamos on Daf Lamed Aleph writes the same thing also in the Ramban and the end of Yevamos has like that in the Mocham. That's assumed to be all the Rishonim assume like that. Whenever the Das HaMeschayev authorizes the Edom to write the Shtar, then it's a din of Shtar. Whenever the Edom write on their own without the authorization for the Das HaMeschayev, then it's no good. Mipiyim Elohim Piksov. So the question begs itself: when you have a din Torah and Reuven lost and Shimon wins. So Deb doesn't want to write the document. This is to ascertain that Reuven lost and Shimon wins. And Reuven has to pay Shimon $100,000. So Reuven says, I don't give you permission to write a shtar. So he can paralyze the whole bezin. He'll send out letters to everybody that I won. Shimon will send out letters. I won the din Torah, and Reuven owes me $100,000. So what's to prevent him from doing that? Tumul, the Eidom Void. So the Bezdin has to have the power to write up Psak Bezdin. So how do they have the authority to write? It's Mipiyim Elohim Piksovim. Unless the one who lost the Din Torah will authorize them to write a Shtar. What do you do if he's a wise guy? He'll say, I don't authorize you to write a Shtar. Mipiyim Elohim Piksovim. You have no right to write it. So we assume, there's a Gemara later on Daf Lamed, we assume that a Bezdin never needs Das HaMeschayev to write a Shtar. Bezdin has a right to write a. The Gemara says if a guy makes a hadoras balbin, if nei bezdin, so bezdin has a right to write a shtar that he owes the money, even though he didn't authorize them to write a shtar. Bezdin can write a shtar, maise bezdin, without a das hamischai. The question is, how does that work? How does that work? So that's a big question. So there's a big machloikas in Rishonim and Achrayim. Every Rishon and Achrayim is involved in this machloikas. It's famous that it's a machlekes the Ktzos and the Nesivos. But the Ktzos himself quotes that this machlekes are Rabbeinu Yerucham and the Beis Yosef. And when you look, you'll see it's every Rishon and Achron is involved in this machlekes. The Shaila is there's a principle of Hefke Bezna Hefke. So in the Gemara, Hefke Bezna Hefke appears in two different. Hefke Bezna Hefke is the klal that enables the Chachamim to make takonis to change the dinim on the level of their eyes. It says in the Torah, I have to pay you money. And the Rabbanan, they said, I don't have to pay you the money. So what right do they have to do that? Isn't it gezel on my part? I owe you $100, I'm not going to pay. So it's gezel. And the Rabbanan, they say, I have to pay you. And the Rabbanan, they say, Hezek Sheni Nikra, Shmei Hezek, you have to pay. What do you mean you have to pay? In the Torah, I don't have to pay. When you take the money, I don't want to give you. When you take the money, it should be gezel. So that's all based on Hefke Beznefke. So Hefke Beznefke works in two different circumstances. One circumstance is the money that I had, Bezin says they're mafke the money. Then there's another case, Bezin takes my money and they say it belongs to you. So Hefke Beznefke works to be mafke someone's mom, and Hefke Beznefke works to be makna lachere. So Hefke Beznefke is in deraisa. I learned that from Psukim. Where's the sugya of Hefke Beznefke? Where are the Psukim? Right, right. The Gemara is in Gittin in the context of the principle Takana. The Mishnah Gittin starts a whole series on Mishnayos, and it's a longer, much longer in the Tosefta. All the Takanas that they made by the Rabbanon, they tikkun olam. Various Takanas when they tikkun olam. So one of the Takanas says Hillel Hiskin principle when they tikkun olam. He instituted principle. So the Gemara says, what's going on? It goes on Shemitah, Bismanazeh is only the Rabbanon, and principle is the Rabbanon. How do they have a right to change the dinim? Isn't there a gezel over here? The Gemara says, Hefke Bezna Hefke. The Gemara quotes the Psukim for the Hefke Bezna Hefke. Psukim in Ezra, Psukim in Chumash. Fine, Hefke Bezna Hefke is assumed to be a klal deraisa. So the machlokes, Rishayim and Achrayim is, Hefke Bezna Hefke works minatora lahafkir. What about lahaknas lacherim? It also works, but that part is also minatora, and that part is midirabon. So the original machlokes that they quote is, my machloshtam is a kinyan midirabon. My machloshtam means, let's say you owe me $100, and I want to give the $100 to someone else, and all three of us are here. The loiva with the malva and the mekaba matana. So I say, my machloshtam, the $100 that he owes me, should go to you now. So the Gemara says in Gitna, daf yogimel, that's a takana midirabon, that my machloshtam works. First, the Gemara, one opinion of the Gemara was, my mishloshen olig works on a pikodin. If you're holding onto a pikodin bn that belongs to me, but if you owe me $100, a halva doesn't work. Then the Gemara backs out from that. We don't pass on like that. My mishloshen doesn't only work on a pikodin; it even works on a halva also. I say the $100 that you owe me, I declare it should go to him. So if all three of us are standing together, it's a takana mirabona that it works. So let's say the chassan comes to the chuppah. And he forgot, and he gave the ring to someone else. He gave the ring to the best man because Chosin is nervous. He's afraid he's going to forget. So he gave it to his friend. So the friend forgot to bring the ring. So they're standing under the chuppah, and the rabbi said, who has the ring? Nobody has the ring. So the best friend stands under the chuppah, and the Chosin says, Hare mukudeshesli, with the ring that he left at home, it's my mishloshn. He's holding on to my pikodin. And I want the ring to be nicknamed to the kala. So the kala is mukudeshes. So the Rabbi Yeruchim says the kala is only b'kodeshes midirabbanan. She's not an eshes hish menatora, because menatora she doesn't own the ring. He didn't give it to her. My mishloshen only works midirabbanan. So the Beis Yosef quotes the Rabbi Yeruchim. Rabbi Yeruchim was the Talmud of the Rosh. So Beis Yosef quotes Rabbi Yeruchim and says, what's he talking about? Once a chacham made a takana the rabbanan, all takanas in the area of dinim amanus rest on the principle of hefker bez nehefker. So it works menatora. So the woman is b'kodeshes menatora. So the Tzoyis quotes that Beis Yosef, he thinks that Beis Yosef is right. And the Nesibah says, no, the Rabbi Yeruchim is right, that Hefke Bez Nehefke only works Menator Lahafkir. But Lahaknas Lacherim, to say that the ring belongs to the Kala, there you don't have any Psukim on that, but that should be Hefke Bez Nehefke also. So that's a famous Machlokes. That's Machlokes, the Tzoyis and the Nesibah, who's more correct, whether Rabbi Yeruchim is right or the Beis Yosef is right. Then if you look in the Rishayim, it's a machlokes. Every Rishon takes a stand on this. That's the Shaila. The Gemara says, on the first 2 days of Sukkot in each Shalachem. So the Gemara says, what if you want to give the Dalad Minim to a child who's before Bar Mitzvah, Mitam Chinuch? You have to have Shalachem. So the Gemara says, if you give it to the child before Bar Mitzvah, he's going to be claiming that he can't be makna back. So you better make sure that all the adults after Bar Mitzvah were already Yotzei. Because once you give it to the child, he'll be koina and he can't be makna back, and you won't be able to be yotze. So there's a famous machlokes of Rishayim. What kind of a child are we talking about? We're talking about a child who's lohi katan shehigia loynes haputas. Once the child is 8-9 years old and he understands a little bit business, mekachamemke, you sell and you buy and you pay and so on. If you don't pay, you don't get it. He understands what it means. Little children always grab everything. Everybody else's toy, everything is mine. It's mine. It's mine. They don't understand the concept of ownership. This is yours and this is his. And this is not yours and not his. It belongs to someone else. The little babies don't understand ownership. When the child is old enough to understand what it means, mekach hamemka, if you pay money, you kind of made a kinyan, you kind of. So then the rabbanon min haTorah hakotan. The Rambam starts off Perek Chof Tes in Hilchos Mechira Shloisha. Ein mikra mekach ve'ein memker memker dva Torah. Min haTorah the cherusha to the cotton cannot make any kinyon, and it's only a takana with the rabbanon that the cotton shigir lo enes haputas. So he said kibashis kibasheva. Mar says when he's 6 years old, 7 years old, he understands ownership and what it means to sell and to buy. So then with the rabbanon he can make a kinyon. So that's a big machlokes of Rishonim. When the Gemara says if you be makna to the cotton, you can't be makna back. Is the cotton 11 years old? And he can't be makna back. Why can't he makna back? Midirabbanan, he can be makna back. Cotton shige loinus of putas can be makna back. So you say, but that only be a kinyan midirabbanan on the first day of Sukkot, he need a shalachem and a Torah. So is a kinyan midirabbanan moil for a din derais of shalachem or not? So that's a machlokes of Rishonim. That's exactly the machlokes, the Beis Yosef and the Red Beni Ruchim. That's exactly the machlokes, the Ktzos and the Nesivos. So the Nesivos quotes a sefer Beis Yankov. Usually we reject everything the Beis Yankov says, but so most of what he says is rejected. But once in a while he hits the nail on the head. So over here he quotes, I think, the Tshuvas Beis Yankov, who says that Lahaknas lacherim, that hefka bez nehefka only works with the rabban, doesn't work with natur. So the nesivis think that that's the more correct opinion. So there's there's a tshuva in Rebbe Kiveger, where Rebbe Kiveger had a correspondence with his uncle, who was also a big Talmid Chacham. The Gemara there in Gittin and the Sugya Pruzbo, where is it? Daf Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, also. So the Gemara there quotes two different psukim. What is the source for hefka bez nehefka? Rabbi Kiveger or his uncle, one of them suggested that maybe there's a difference between the two psukim. One of the psukim sounds like it's only hefker bezna hefker is only lahafker, but lahaknas lacherim wouldn't work menatera. The other pasuk sounds like even lahaknas lacherim would also work menatera. So this was a suggestion Rabbi Kiveger has. Maybe the famous machloikis of Ben Yeruchim with the Beis Yosef by the one who does kiddushi kesef, Idei Maimon Shloshtan, and the machloikis dictates in the Nesivos, who's right. Whether Rabbi Yeruchim or Rabbi Yosef, maybe it's really a machlokes hamaraim and the Gemara. So there is a sefer that has oris on Shuvas Rabbi Kiveger. Sefer was written before the Second World War by one who happened to have been a descendant of Rabbi Kiveger. He was named after Rabbi Kiveger. His name was Akiva. What was his name? What's the name of the sefer? Tzemach David. So his name was Rabbi David Akiva Rappaport, I think. He had two first names. So one name Akiva, he was named after Rabbi Kiveger, and the sefer is called Tzemach David. It's a very good sefer. It's Ha'oris and Tshuvas Rabbi Kiveger. Rabbi Chana Wasserman had a yeshiva in Baranovich, and he didn't know this person, but he was so inspired by the, he saw the sefer as a knockout Gevaldiga sefer, so he hired him sight unseen to give the highest shiur in his yeshiva. But then when he came, he was surprised to see, first of all, that he was single. Gave him the highest shiur in the yeshiva. Secondly, that he was such a terrible stutterer, they couldn't understand one word that he said. So he didn't know what to do. So he asked Rabbi Chana Wasserman, was a brother-in-law of Rabbi Chaim Oizen. They married two sisters. So he went and he asked Rabbi Chaim Oizen, what should he do? He fell in over here, he made a mistake. So he says, that being married, he's going to get married. He's not married yet. That'll straighten itself out. The stuttering will never straighten out. He has such a terrible son. He says, the students, after a while, they'll pick up what he's talking about. It took a long while. He used to have Rabbi Gilman. He used to learn, he used to give a shiur here in the yeshiva. Rabbi Gilman said he remembers. He couldn't understand. You had to be in his class for a couple of months till you understood what in the world he was talking about. It was such a terrible story. Anyway, so that's the sefer, that Tzemach David is the Oris on Tshuva for Rabbi Kiveger. So Tzemach David has a very good piece on this Tshuva. So Rabbi Kiveger has in the Tshuvas the suggestion that maybe the two opinions, the two psukim and the Gemara and Gittin and the Sugya of Pruzbo, two opinions, which pasuk is the mocker for the principle of Hefka Bezna Hefka? Maybe the difference is whether Lahaknas Lacherim works Benadar or only with Rabbanon. So he explains what's the Nekudas HaMachloikas. So he says, according to the Nesivas, that Hefka Bezna Hefka only works Lahafkir, it doesn't work Lahakdis Lacherim. So what you're saying in effect is the following, that Bezdin has the right to act as if they are the Bailim. Let's say I own a Gemara. So I can be Mapke the Gemara without any Maisa Kinyan. I just say, declare. Anybody declare the Gemara is Hefka. You don't have to make any Kinyan on him. But Lahakdis Lacherim, you can't just declare. Anybody declare the Gemara belongs to you. So the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mechira, Perek Aleph Halach Aleph, the first line, Ein hanekach nikne bedvarim. Just by making a declaration that it belongs to you, you don't transfer ownership. The secular law here in America, I think the secular law is a difference between karka and talpalim. I think on the talpalim they say you can transfer ownership just by a declaration, and by karka you can't. And Halacha says not by karka, not by metalpalim, you can't transfer ownership to someone else unless you make a maisa kinyan. We'll have to talk about that at length when we learn this big thesis on the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph. So, in the Tzemach David, he suggests, according to the Nesibis, that Hefke Besna Hefke only works Manatora Bahafke, but not Lahaknus Lacher. What you're saying, in effect, is that Besna has a right to act as if they were the Bailim. So, just like the Bailim themselves would have the ability to be Mafke Bidvarim, so Besna has the ability to be Mafke Bidvarim. Just like the Bailim himself cannot be Makna Lacherim Bidvarim, unless you make a Maisa Kinyan, so too the Hefke Bezna Hefke Lahaknas Lacherim only works with the Rabbanim. That doesn't work in Atar. So he says, according to the Nesibis, so we understand the Gemara and Daf Lamed. Why does the Bezin have the right to write a Shtar Maisa Bezin without any Das HaMizchai? Let's say after the Din Torah is over, so Bezin wants to write a Psak that the Reuben has to pay Shimon $100,000. And Reuben says, I don't give you permission to write that psak. And he'll go on, he'll scream, he'll go send out letters to the public that the psak was that he won the din Torah. So the din is the Bezin can write to Shtar without the authorization from Reuben. That's the Gemara. Where's that Gemara? I think it's Chav Tes on the base. I think it's on Chav Tes on the base. If he's made a Bifnei Bezin, so the Gemara says the Bezin can write. Bezin can write a shtar ma'aseh Bezin without asam sky. Why? So according to the receivers, Bezin has the right to act as if what they were the Bailim. So just like they have a right to be mafkir, because the Bailim himself can be mafkir b'dibur. So the Bezin can be mafkir his property b'dibur. So just like if the Bailim, if Reuben would have authorized Adam to write a shtar, if he would grant asam sky, the Adam would be able to write a shtar. So even if Reuven doesn't grant Das HaMizchai, but Bezna has the right to act as if they're Reuven. So they can authorize the writing of the Shtar. So every Shtar Maisa Bezna is considered as if it had been written with Das HaMizchai, based on the principle of Hefker Bezna Hefker. Hefker Bezna Hefker, all it means is Bezna has the right to act as if they were the Bailim. So just like the Bailim have the ability to be Mafke Bidvarim, just by declaration, so Bezna can be Mafke Bidvarim. Just like the Bailim can authorize Adam to sign a Shtar, that's Das HaMizchai. So the Bezin can authorize a Das HaMizchai instead. So according to the Nesibis, one can understand that a Shtar Maisa Bezin is mamash a regular Shtar with Das HaMizchai. The Bezin gives a Das HaMizchai on behalf of the Loive. The Loive doesn't want to aid him to write. Bezin has a right to give the Das HaMizchai on his behalf. The Shaila is, but if you hold not like that, if you hold like the Tzeis, who thinks like the Beis Yosef, that everything works min HaTorah. So it's not that the Bezna has a right to act as if they're the Bailim. There is no such thing. Bezna over here exceeds the power of the Bailim. Bezna can be Makna Lacherim, believe my Sekinyan. They can just declare Hefker Bezna Hefker, that the property belongs. They say, my Mishloshtan, they wave a magic wand. They say, my Mishloshtan, the Kal is kind of the ring. On the level of the Raisa, there's no way in the world that the Kal is kind of the ring. There's no way without a my Sekinyan. It's sitting in the home of the best man, and he's standing under the chuppah, the chasen, the kala, and the friend of the chasen, and he says, the ring that's in his house should not be nicknamed to you. It didn't make a maisa kinyan. But with the Rabbanon, the vort is, Hefke Bezna Hefke is a different vort. Bezna has the right to declare ownership and non-ownership. But not to have a right to act as if they're the Bailim. Echateisa. Ain't on a mafke dovish enu shaloi. I can't be mafke. So I can Bezna be mafke my property. So the answer is, it's not based on Bezdin having the right to act as if they're the Bailim. No, the Vart is, Bezdin has the right to declare ownership and non-ownership. Yeah, but over here, how do they have the right to authorize the writing of a Shtar? If there's no Das HaMizchai, there's no Das HaMizchai. So the Chore, if you hold like the Nesibis, that if you hold like the Tzais and the Beis Yosef, that Hefker Bezna Hefker works even Lahaknas Lacherim in Atoyram. So it's not that the Pshat Nehefker Bezna Hefker means they have the right to act as if they're the Das Bailam. It's not a Vort Das Bailam. So a Vort of declared ownership and non ownership. So how do they have the right to authorize the writing of a Shtar? You have to say it's a new din. A Shtar Maaseh Bezdin is not identical with a Shtar that's written Midas HaMischayim. I think there's supposed to be a Tshuva Nachasam Sofer. I never said it. I never saw it, but I heard years ago it's supposed to be. So it's a Tshuva Nachasam Sofer where he comments on the Gemara that's coming up on the next daf. Tosfos already quoted it. It says, Zeh HaMishpatim HaShetosim Lifneihem. So the Gemara has a problem. Why does it say HaShetosim? Sima is on a tangible object. Here, I placed the sefer on the table. That's Sima. Eil HaMishpatim HaShetosim Lifneihem. Shetzei Eil HaMishpatim HaShetalamdeim. Is that the verb Sima doesn't apply. So Tosfos quotes, where's that Tosfos? Tosfos quotes the Gemara. Here, the bottom line in Tosfos on base on the base. Tosfos quotes the Gemara from Zayin HaMenal, the next time. HaShetosim Lifneihem Eilu Kalei HaDayanim D'Shayach B'Hu Sima. The last line in the bottom text, the last line on the Omen. The Gemara there is wondering, why does Eilu Mishpatim HaShetosim Sima applies to a tangible object? The Gemara says, Eilu Kalei HaDayanim. And since it says, HaShetosim Lifneihem, Lifneihem Lo Lifnei HaDyotis, you need Tzuchim, you see that merely the Isu Kfira, in order to be koy for someone, Rav Yosef was ma'asa agiti. The Mishnayos have in Ksuba, sometimes the Bezna has the right and the obligation to pressure the husband, to force the husband, to beat him up until he gives a get to his wife. Sometimes the Bezna, when the government is run by Jewish people, okay, you have a right. When Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanut has a right to force people to give a get, so they sometimes put people in prison, to take away their driver's license, take away their passport. That's a real kfir. That's a real clear. So Bezna has a right to be kaifa. In America, Din al Machus says you have no right to be kaifa on any religious issue. But in Eretz Yisrael, Inyani Ishus are in the hands of the Rabbanon. So they have a right to be kaifa. So you learn out from that pasuk, HaShetosim, the Inyan of Isu Yekfir. Bezna has to have the ability to enforce all of the mitzvahs of Torah, to enforce the psokim also. So I think there's supposed to be a Chasam Sofer where he claims that the ability of the Bezdin to write a shtar without Das HaMischayev is based on Eilu Kalei HaDayanim. That's also, there has to be in the powers of the Bezdin, they have to be empowered to write a shtar. If they're always going to be totally, whether the guy who lost the Din Torah is going to give them permission, so he'll never give permission, he'll never be able to prove that he lost the Din Torah. So he won't be able to, he won't accomplish anything by having a Din Torah. You have to say that it's new Din. If you all like the Nesivis, that's what the Tzemach David says. If you all like the Nesivis, and he quotes the Beis Yankiv, and that's the Rabbeinu Yeruchim, and half of the Rishonim all like that. Every Rishon, every Yach, there are places in the Gemara where this issue comes up. Every time it's a Machlokes, a Rishonim, Machlokes, Achreinim. Where the Hefke Bezna Hefke only works Menator Lahafker, or even works Lahaknas Lachim. Yeah. See, if you all like the Nesivis, it only works Lahafker, but it doesn't work Menator Lahaknas Lachim. That din of Hefke Bezna Hefke, that's only Midrabbanon. So then you have to say the word of Hefke Bezna Hefke is that Bezna has the right to act as if they're the Bailam. So then it makes it easier to understand the Shtar Maaseh Bezna. Bezna has the right to act as if they're the Das HaMischayev. So they can authorize Das HaMischayev. The Shtar Maaseh Bezna is a regular Shtar. Not different, not a special din. But if you hold like the Tzois, like the Beis Yosef, then Hefke Bezna Hefke even works Manator LaHaknas LaCherem. So they have greater power than the Das HaMischayev himself. The person himself can't be Makna Lacherim without a Maaseh Kinyan. So what kind of a din is it, Hefke Bezna Hefke? So it's not a vort to have the right to act as if they were the Bailam. It's a vort. They can declare ownership and non-ownership. So then you don't see at all that they have a right to act as if they're the Bailam. So how do they have the right to authorize the writing of a Shtar Muzman? So then you have to say, no, that's a new din. Shtar Maaseh Bezna is a new din. So it could be. It's based on this pasuk. Hey, look, play Adonim. You have to give the Dayanim Kalim to enforce the mitzvahs and to enforce the piskei din. So you have to give the dayanim, you have to give the Bezna the ability to write a shtar maaseh bezna.
Are we saying that would Eilu Kalei HaDayanim be a mechanism through which they could be machnas lacherim also?
Mm-hmm. No. That's only to enforce the psukim, to enforce the observance of mitzvahs. A guy doesn't want to do a mitzvah, so he say Eilu Klei HaDayanim. It's the responsibility of the Rabbanim to see that everybody sits in sukkah, everybody eats matzah, and whoever's supposed to give a get to his wife should give the get to his wife, and they have a right to be kofer. So you learn that from the pasuk Eilu Klei HaDayanim. The Dayanim are given the ability to enforce the mitzvahs and to enforce their piskei dinim. And then part of enforcing their piskei dinim is they have to have the ability to write a shtar ma'aseh bezin. Otherwise, they'll give a din Torah. The guy will say, I won. The one who lost will claim that he won.
Rebbe saying this within, like, the Tzad Rebbe quotes, that's midin government. So then they would hold, how could, but that midin government shouldn't give you the authority to write a shtar, but Eilu Klei HaDayanim give you the authority to write a shtar.
Okay. Good.
Is this the same thing as the Dvar of Rome we saw?
Same as?
The Dvar of Rome we saw? In a previous year, we said that the whole point of being mafkir was to keep law and order.
Okay.
Said that they're rice as well.
Correct. That's what he's saying. That Dvar Avram just pointed out from the Gemara, from the Taisus. Mehacha lahasam, mehasam lahacha. You see that the Hefka Bezna Hefka is a branch of Dina de Machusa. The Ika Din is Dina de Machusa Dina to keep law and order. And if the government is not taking care of it, so the Bezna has the responsibility to. Okay? So the Bezna also has to see to it that that people observe Dini HaTorah, and they have the right and the obligation to see to it people should observe the Piskei Dinim that they give. Taisus said that whoever is here, Donafi Lichidi, the Taisus Hamad Aleph we saw, Donafi Lichidi, Yachal Ofis Adam, Bal Karcha, if the guy does want to go to Din Torah, the Bezn, whichever Bezn has a right to be done, either Bezn of Shloisha, Amum Chalaram, Donafi Lichidi, they have a right to be Kaifa. What do they have a right to be kofer? It's also based on that pasuk. Hashem tosim lefneim eilu klei hadayan. Have a right to be kofer to appear for a din Torah, and then they have a right to be kofer to write a psak after the din Torah was given.
In the places where you're not allowed to be kofer, but either the malchusa and people are. Not, they do it straight, not for money or not for ulterior motives.
Yeah.
Does it work?
The Mishnah says that if the bezn was kofer shaloi kedin, so the get this puzzle mid the rabban. So the pashto says that this is shaloi kedin. In America, there's a din of the machusa that there's freedom of religion, and that's what we thrive on. If the women made them a religion, they would force us to act like Christians. So we're very appreciative of the fact that there's freedom of religion in America. So then they go and they force people to give a get. So that's whoever lives in America knows that we live on the freedom of religion. So you haven't that's not the right to be kaif on a get in America. If it's not kfir, let's say you have community pressure, you're not going to daven. If the guy walks into the shul, no one's going to deal with him in business. That's called harchokas to Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam says that that's not called kfir on a get. Even when the bezna has no right to be kaifa, that's not called kfir. Kfir means you lock him up in jail, like an Eretz Yisrael. That's mamish kfir. You take away his driver's license, you make life miserable for him. Take away his passport, his driver's license. But if you have community pressure, so that's called harchokas derabbeinu tam. That's not called kfi ala get. But if you do kfi ala get in America, the pashto says that it's shaloi kedin, so the get will be possible mid the rabbon. Yeah. So the Gemara said lema. Gemara says on the bottom of vav amaral. Should I say that there are three different opinions? Whether you need a pshara needs a bezn of one, bezn of three, a bezn of two. Mar says no, the one that says two really holds one. Chadami kosher, but the reason why two, keichu delev alei sahadi. You're going to have pshar biyachid, and then the guy who lost will claim I won. So he won't be able to budge. So we recommend to have the pshar bishnan. So one could have said a pshetl, it would have been a good pshetl. One could have said a pshat like this, that there really is an opinion pshar bishnan. There was a machlekes, we said again, Rabbi Yoshi or Rabbi Yonison. How do you know that you need three? So one said it says three times Elohim. So you add it up. The other one says no ein darshim tchilas. It only says two times Elohim, but the third one is based on ein bezin shakol. But ein bezin shakol only makes sense if it's a bezin for a din Torah, but you go basarayv. But by pshara, Taisa says you're not going to go basarayv anyway. So maybe ein bezin shakol shouldn't apply. So there should have been another opinion that pshara bishnayim. There should have been. Why did the Gemara machabek? No, there never was such an opinion. Why not? Should have said if the whole is If you only have two times Elohim, and the requirement for the third dine is based on Ein Bezin Shakol, Then Bez and Shokel shouldn't apply to a Pshara. So there should have been a third Shita, the Pshara Bishnai. So why is it wrong?
Rabbi said that Ein Bez and Shokel is not a Din Psak.
Ein Bez and Shokel, we know Ein Bez and Shokel even applies to Smicha on the Parhal and Dovah Shel Tzibur. They're not Paskin anything over there. It's a Bezin just to do Smicha, a Bezin to do Medida for the purposes of Egla Rufa. You have to measure. Someone was murdered, a Jewish person was found murdered, Cholo, murdered in Eretz. You don't know, lo noda mecho, so you have to, Bezin HaGadol has to send a Bezin, either three or five members of the Bezin HaGadol, to measure to the closest city to determine which city is closer. There is no psak at all, they're just going to measure. They're just going to measure. And if a Shaila will come up regarding measuring, there are things that can come up. Let's say the body is like this, so it's mamish, almost machza machza to the two cities. So do you measure from his heart, or do you measure from his nose? So that's a machlokes hatanaim in Perek Egla Rufa, in the end of Saita. There are things to argue about over there. But who says that the bezin of three who do the medida are authorized to decide that? They should send the shadah to call up the bezin agarul. They're not authorized to paskin on that. So the klal of Ein Bezin Shokel applies to every bezin, even when you're not going to go basura, even when there's not no harua at all, there's no psak at all. So the pashta says that I think one of the chassidish, I think there's a sefer on Sanhedrin, it's called Sanhedrin Tana. I think it's by Kozhinetz Magid or something, by chassidish Rebbe, I think. So I seem to remember from 50 years ago, I think he has such a suggestion on this daf. Why does the Gemara say that there is no such opinion that pshar bishnaim? Well, it should have been if you hold. The whole reason why you need the third dine is because Ein Bezin Shokel and Pshara, you don't go Basarayv, so it should remain, it should be good Bishnai. So that's the answer, because Ein Bezin Shokel is a din of Bezin, even if the Bezin is not voting on anything. Even if you're not, no issue of going Basarayv. So, okay, Ein Bezin Shokel. So that's what the Gemara says, there never was such an opinion, that Pshara Bishnai. The only reason why you need Shnayim, Kechet Delev Alei Sahadi, they should be able to function as Edim on the case. Fine. So there are two opinions, whether Pshar B'yochid or Pshar B'shloisha. Fine. Now the Gemara has four lines from the bottom. Omer Avashi, Shma Mino, from the fact that there is an opinion that Pshara needs a Bezno 3, Pshara ain't a Tzricha Kinyan. That the Pshara should be binding, let's say there's a Din Torah. Let's say Reuven and Shimon have a Din Torah. They go to a Bezno, gives a Psa. So the one who lost is not happy with the Psa. He said, I want to go to a different bezin. He has no right to go to a different bezin. Why? Let's say they went to the bezin of the Ktzois. Let's say there's a legitimate machlekes between the Ktzois and the Nesivis, and neither side really has conclusive proof from the Gemaras that he's right. So if they would have gone to the Nesivis' bezin first, Shimon would have won. They went to the Ktzois' bezin, so the Ktzois' bezin says that Reuven wins. So the guy who lost is unhappy. He said, I want to go to the other bezin. You have no right to go to the other bezin. Once you went to a bezin, the case is closed. That's exactly what we said from day number one, the difference between a psak of the bezin and a hairoa and isa beheta. Hairoa and isa beheta is not on your case. It's a hairoa and abstract. See, even a relative can paskin also, let's say in Hilchas Nida, there's no din of kreivim. I'm not paskining on my relative. I'm saying in abstract what the din of Torah is. But the relatives are not acceptable when you have a bezin of din imamunas, the din of the first, because bezin paskins on this person. So if a member of the Bezin is related to the Nidon in Mominus and the Fashas or Malkus, so Kroivim are no good. But Kroivim are good, and Nisa V'Heta, the Paskin, whether the woman is a Grusha Lekoyen or she's not a Grusha, is she a Mamzeres, or is she allowed to marry, or whatever issue it is, you're not Paskin on this person, you're saying in abstract what Halach is. A Bezin Paskin's on the case. So that's why once a Bezin Paskin's, if the Bezin Paskin and you can demonstrate that it's a Toy B'Dvar Mishneh, so then the Gemara says Toy B'Dvar Mishneh is Choyza. The psak is an error, you back up. But if it's not a Toy B'Dvar Mishnah, the Ktzois and the Nesivis have a machlokes and nobody really has conclusive proof that he's right. So whichever Bezin paskin first, the psak is binding. So the Gemara said the same is true regarding Pshara. Pshara ain't a Tzricha Kinyan. Pshara is binding because Pshara is a psak of Lifnei Mishuras Hadin. It's also a psak of a Bezin. We can't force you to agree to a pshara. If you say you want dafke din, so you have the right to have din. Let's say there's going to be a din Torah between the yeshiva and one of the rebbes. About salary, about pension, about retirement, whatever. So is it right that the yeshiva should agree to pshara and it should cost the tzibur more money. Or it's going to be an inter between the OU and one of the secretaries and the OU, one of the employees and the OU. So is that right, that the tzedakah organization should agree to a pshara and to pay money if al pidin they're not mechuyev to pay? So is that right? So on the one hand, maybe the yeshiva is like an other mechal shebshayni. The yeshiva always has to go lifnei mishur hadin. Has to be more medaktik. On the other hand, it's a kohol shegelt. It's all the money is tzedakah. It's a non-profit organization. They schlep money from people. Now they're going to have to pay out another $100,000 to somebody. Is that right? So that's a deal. That's a deal. What's the din? Whether tzedakah organizations are permitted or obligated. Are they allowed to agree to a pshara if they have to have a din Torah? Are they allowed to agree to a pshara where they're going to have to shell out extra money because of the pshara? So that's a serious question. I remember years ago, Dr. Lamb felt that yeshiva has a din about the mechashuv, that the mechuyev, to go, always mechuyev to go lefnim mishuvas hadin. And others felt not so. I don't know, you have to ask Sokol. Sokol was always in charge of the money. Dr. Lane was in charge of the theory. And Mr. Sokol was in charge of the money, so maybe he would say fakir. Anyway, that's a deal. That's a deal. What to be done? To Nachamol. So what does Rav Ashi say? Shma mino. From the fact that there is an opinion that Pshara needs a Nam Shloisha, ain't a Tzricha Kinyan. The psak of the Bezdin by Pshara is binding even if they didn't make a Kabbalah's Kinyan. Just like the psak of a Bezdin in Dini Mominus is binding even if they never made a Kinyan. They don't need a Kinyan, they agreed to the Bezdin, or they never agreed, and the Bezdin was Kaifa, when Bezdin has a right to be Kaifa. So the psak, the case is closed, that's the psak. The case is closed, they have to observe the psak of the Bezdin, it's binding. So a Pshara is also a psak of Lefnim Mishur HaSadim. You can't force them to agree to Pshara, but once they agreed to go to a Pshara, and the Bezdin gave a psak. So the Bezdin did what they were supposed to do, they gave a psak, so it's binding. How does you know you don't need a Kinyan? The Yisal Kadaitach Tzricha Kinyan, if you think that the psak of the pshara is not binding unless they made a kinyan. So what does it mean? The pshara is not a psak of the bezin. We keep on saying the whole time, the tour said that just like there's a din of isa hatoyas mishpat, lasaso alaba mishpat, in a din Torah, so too there's an isa of hatoyas mishpat in a pshara. Why? Pshara is also a psak bezin, of a psak of nimishu sadin. And then Rabbi Kiveger wrote on the bottom of the page in the chash mishpat that just like if the Bezim was Toye Bedvar Mishnah, so the Psak is Chayze, so if the Bezim made a Pshara and the Pshara was a Toye Bedvar Mishnah, so also the Pshara is not binding. That's what all the crooked Bati Dinim, when someone has a Din Torah and they give a Psak of a Pshara, so they want to turn it, so they go to another Bezim. The other Bezim says, the first Bezim was Toye Bedvar Mishnah. The Psak is so off, it's utterly ridiculous. How can you have a Toye Bedvar Mishnah and a Pshara? How can you have... Sometimes you can. It was so unfair. It's obviously unfair, okay? But they usually, the crooked, but they didn't. They just overturn every psak of everybody. It's a Toye B'dva Mishnah. The psak is so unfair. Toye B'dva Mishnah and a Pshar. Yeah. So we're always assuming, like the Tur and like Rabbi Kiveger, and like the Maskonas and Gemara, that Pshar is a psak of a Bezna, and that there's a psak of Din, then there's a psak of Lefnim Mishur HaSadin. So Rav Ashi now is arguing like that. Pshara ain't a tzvicha kinyan, just like a din Torah doesn't need a kinyan. It's a psak of a bezin. Yisal gadaitach tzvicha kinyan. If you should think that a pshara is not a psak of a bezin, just an arbitration, a binding arbitration, a compromise, so then why should there be an opinion that makshin and pshara ledin? Why should you need a bezin of three? Whatever, you made a kabbalah's kinyan to abide by whatever psak this oracle gives. The Greeks used to ask the oracles. Whatever, you can make a Kabbalah's Kinyan on any ridiculous thing and it'll be legally binding if you committed yourself. Whatever the thing is. So why should you say that you need three? That's the argument. The Yisal Gadaitach, Tzvicha Kinyan, and the binding force of the Pshar is not because it's a Psak of the Bezdin, this is closed, but rather because he made a Kabbalah's Kinyan. So the Mandam Tzvicha Shloisha, the Tana who holds it Pshar Bishloisha, Lamali, what do you need three Dayanim? Tizgi betray. It should be good enough with two, it should be good enough with one. We lick them in it, make a Kabbalah skin, whatever the oracle says. So don't you see that Pshar is a Psak of the Bezin? At least according to the Tana who says, maybe this goof is the Machloikas, but the Pshar is a Psak of the Bezin. A Pshar is just a compromise. And Zagdi Gemara, we don't accept what Rav Ashi said. No, the halacha says Pshara needs a kinyan. So how do you understand that? That's the shot. Why should I feel if you hold you need shloisha? It's based on makshinim shor ledin. So it's a psak of lifnim shivas adin. So why do you need a kinyan? So why do you need a kinyan? So that's what Tosis explains. It's unclear, the big fat Tosis on the bottom. So they have three different parts to the Tosis. So the second part, three different parts. So the first part, Tosis is discussing when is the kinyan made by the pshat. So one pshat is the kinyan is made before they make a Kabbalist kinyan. The Bezin gives a handkerchief to Reuven and then a handkerchief to Shimon, and they say, you both accept upon yourself with the Kabbalist kinyan suitor to follow the psak of the Bezin. So that makes it legally binding. So why do you need? You don't need a Kabbalist kinyan when you have a din Torah. Din Torah is binding because Bezin Paskin, that's the din. So why should you need? Why should Pshara need a kinyan? Pshara is a psak of lifting Mishra Sadin. So Tesis explains. The fellow, we can't be koifa el pshara on the people. That's the Ramo quoted in Machloikas. So you have a right to be koifa el lifnim mishur hasadin. We pass, you can't be koifa. So you have to have, the only time Bezin has a right to make a pshara is they were authorized by the two baladinim to make such a pshara. So they can authorize, and then when he hears, that's the pshara that I have to pay $5 million. I never agreed to that. I thought they're going to come out with something reasonable. The guy says, $5 million, I never agreed to. So, in a din Torah, the din is binding. You don't. Sometimes the Bezin has a right to be kind for the person to come to a din Torah. So, if you have a din Torah, they pass it, so it's binding. A pshara is only binding if the both parties agreed out of their free will to a pshara. We're not kind for a pshara. So maybe, Tosis says, maybe if the kinyonim are made before the Bezin makes a decision, before the Bezin has the deliberations, so maybe the idea behind the kinyon is to be mechazik the haskama, the agreement that he's going to go for a din Torah. In a certain sense, it is a davar shel. In other words, Tosis says, not that he's agreeing to pay the money that Bezin is going to make him pay. He's agreeing to submit to a din Torah. Usually a kinyan is, the Gemara says there's such a thing, the first Mishnah in Bava Basra. The Gemara says, kinyan dvar miyalma is not chal. Let's say you have a daughter and I have a son and we make a Kabbalah kinyan, we've got to be mishadachat children. It's a kinyan dvar miyalma. Kinyan is on a Gemara, I'm going to sell a Gemara, I have real estate, I'll sell my house. I sell you something, I make a kinyan suit, I obligate myself to give you $100. But we make a kinyan suda, we're going to become a chutonim. You're not selling anything. There's nothing here. It's not shaykh a kinyan suda. Gemara says, kinyan dvarim is not shaykh. So here, they have to agree that the bezin should have the right to function as the bezin shall pshara. So they did agree. They said, we go, but the bezin said, would you like pshara? He said, we both want pshara. Then the guy's going to lose, says, that I never agreed to. So Tosis says, maybe you need pshara tzricha kinyan, that it should be clear that they agreed to the pshara. Not they need a kinyan in order to be obligated to pay the $5 million. The psaka bezin is machayv you to pay. You don't need a kinyan to obligate you to pay. The bezin paskin, you have to pay. But the bezin had no right to paskin unless you agreed in the first place to go for a pshara. So maybe the guy can get later, that was a pshara betois. My agreement of what to submit myself to a bezin for pshara, I never dreamt they're going to tell me the pshoras have to pay $5 million. That's wild. So my whole haskama, my whole agreement to enter into pshara was an error. So if you make a kinyan suda, then you can't tie that was an error. There's such a Rambam has something similar. There is a minig. There is a din in the chumash, bal yirah, bal yimotze. You're not allowed to have chametz in your ownership on Pesach. So what do you do if you have a house full of chametz? Years ago, they never had such a thing. They never had freezers. So you can't keep cakes, you can't keep bread and cake. It'll get spoiled. But today, you can keep cakes and bread for years and years and years. You have cookies that can last for a long time. You have spaghetti that can last for a long time. So people have tons of chametz in the house. So why aren't they in violation by your by Motzei? Then the answer is they sell it to the goy. But they don't sell it to the goy. They ask the rabbi to sell it to the goy. So the rabbi is not really, I'm not selling the chametz to the rabbi. The rabbi is Jewish. I'm appointing the rabbi as mashliach. A lot of balabatim misunderstand. They think that selling the chametz to the rabbi. So the rabbi has to make it clear. the Balabatim are appointing the rabbi as a shliach to sell the chametz to the goy on their behalf. So the Rambam writes, or let's say a man wants to give his wife a get, and they don't talk to each other. Husband and wife have such harsh feelings; they don't want to face each other. So the husband wants to appoint a shliach to give the get to the wife. Or let's say the husband and the wife already separated. He lives in New York; she lives already in California. We don't require he should go fly out to California. He appoints somebody who's going to California anyway. Someone's going to California. He appoints that person as a shliach to deliver the get to the wife. So it's an institution of shlichas. You can make a shlich to deliver a get, you can make the rabbi shlich to sell the chametz for you. So the Rambam has a minig, the Rambam in Hilchas Mechira has a minig, when you appoint someone as a shlich to give a get, or you appoint the rabbi as a shlich to sell the chametz for you, the shaliach gives a handkerchief to the mishaleach to acquire the right of attorney, the right to represent the mishaleach to give the get. So the Rambam says that it's meaningless, it's not necessary, and it doesn't accomplish anything, and it's worthless, and it's aroi gevarfen. No tachlis at all. So that's why the Chazanish and this Taipola never made, when they used to, they never sold chametz, they weren't practicing rabbis. When they would ask the rabbi to sell the chametz for them, on principle they wouldn't do a Kabbalah's Kinyan Surah, because the Rambam says that it's meaningless. So it's a minig shtus, so they never did. But Rav Soloveitchik was very insistent. It's a minig in the Rambam, because first the Rambam says it's meaningless and it's not necessary and it doesn't accomplish anything, but then he explains what it's all about. So the Rambam did knock sense into it. The Rambam does explain. So the Rambam says the reason why you have such a minig, that the rabbi gives a handkerchief to Balabas in order to, Balabas should give him the power of attorney to act on his behalf to be able to have the right to sell his chametz, is to demonstrate that Balabas really means it b'leib shalom. B'leib gomer, that he really means it, he's not kidding. So therefore the Rambam says, if the Balabas will say b'leib gomer, b'leib shalom, gamarti v'amarti dovazeh, then there's no need to do the Kinyan Suda. If he says like that. That's where Rav Soloveitchik once said to the Rabbanim, he said, every rabbi knows that on Erev Pesach in the morning, as he's about to go sell a chametz, so the guy, some Balabas going to call up on the phone, I forgot to ask you to sell a chametz. So the rabbi can make a Kinyan Suda over the telephone. What do you do with the minig to have a Kinyan Suda? Rav Soloveitchik said, but it's a minig. You have to preserve the minig. He held that it's not a minig toys, because the Rambam does explain. The Rambam knocks sense into the minig. So Rav Soloveitchik said, the Rambam says the whole purpose of making the Kinyan Suda is to emphasize b'leib shalom gamarti v'amarti dovazeh. So if the Balabas will not say that, tell the Balabas, stay over the telephone. B'leib shalom gamarti v'amarti dovazeh, and I really mean it. I'm not kidding, and I want you to make sure that you act on my behalf as a shlich. So if the Balabas repeats it a few times, then the Rambam says, then there's no need. Then there's no minig even. Then there's no minig that you have to do a Kinyan Suda. The observation said that's one way to solve the problem. How to fulfill a minig even if the Balabas calls on the telephone the last minute? It's not b'chdeshia, so you can't make a Kinyan Suda. Or he said another way to fulfill the minig is Hayidei Ebed Knaini. Ebed Knaini we do all the time. Let's say in the Chosin's Tish, when a boy's getting married, so they write out a ksuba. That the Chosin obligates himself, well, the Ika ksuba is a takana satanoim, so that he doesn't have to obligate himself. So that is Mukhiv from the times of the Tanoim, is Mukhiv. But then he adds on Tosefis ksuba, he adds on more. So he's only b'chuyev to sefes ksuba if he promises on his own and they make a Kabbalah's Kinyan Suda. So it says, we the undersigned made the Kabbalah's Kinyan Suda. So Tosfos in Kiddushin writes, really, the Kala should come into the room and give her handkerchief to the Chosin, because whenever you make a Kinyan Suda, it's b'kel of Shalkoina. And the Kala is the one who's acquiring the obligation of the Tosfos ksuba. The Chosin not only is b'chuyev to give her the Ike ksuba, that's a takanas atanoim, Chosin obligates himself at his own free will to give her also to service. So the Kala should walk into the room, give her. The Kala is in the other room, the Chosin is in this room. So the Eidim give instead, or the Rabbi gives instead. So how is that acceptable? So that's based on Zochen Adam Shleifanov. It's in the best interest of the Kala. She's going to gain a bigger Hischaivus. If the service Ksuba is more than the whole Ika Ksuba, many times over, it's worth much more than the whole Ika Ksuba. So it's Zachen the Adam Shalabifonov. But the Kinyan Suda is not valid. The Kinyan Suda has to be Bekel of Shalkaina. So Tosfos said that's not a problem, because that's a din of Ebed Knaini. Ebed Knaini is a technical term. Ebekneini is like this. And Ebekneini is Yerzi Lecheris Aide Shtar. Either the Odin gives him a Shtar Shech Ariato Ben Choirin, and he gives it to the Eved, or Aide Kesef. If the Eved, because that's how we assume in the Pasuk, it says, Hafte Loi Nevdasa, Ochub Shola Nitanla, says by the Shifcha Harufa. Hafte Loi Nevdasa, Ochub Shola Nitanla. So Chub Shola Nitanla means that the Shifcha. Shivcha wasn't given a shtar shichru because we learn Alexander Shavalola Meisha. Kosov law safe creases and asim yadam. It says Kosov law safe creases goes and it gets. Here it says Chub Shala Nitan law. So Lola Meisha tells you that the Ebek Naini, the Pasuk is talking about the Shivcha Knainis, that the Shivcha Harufa is talking about, she can become Mishachreris Hagidei Shtar. Chub Shala Nitan, she was not Mishtachrera. She would have been Mishtachrera, she would have been a full Eshazish. Then it would have been Misa, but because she's a Chetzer Shivcha, the Chetzer Tcharen, so that's why there's no Misa. So the case of a Shivcha Harufa is a Chetzer Shivcha, the Chetzer Baschar, who's married to a Jewish man, and then she's Mizana with somebody else. So there's no Einish Misa. If she would have been Meshachreris Legamre, she would have been a real full 100% Eishes Ish, there would have been an Einish Misa. But because she's only a Chetzer Shivcha, the Chetzer Baschar, so she's a half Eishes Ish and half not. Miktas issues, it's called Kiddushe Osham. So the boil is Chayv Hashem Rufa, and in the Shivcha Harufa is Chayv Malkus. So the Gemara understands the Pshat and the Pasuk. Chuf Shala Nitan Lo means she wasn't given Chayvus Aide Shtar. Lola Meisha means Shtar. Hof de Loi Nevdas means she was not Niftes Bekesef. And Abakanan is Yotel Chayvus Aide Kesef Aide Shtar. So the Tanoim and the Mishnah in Kiddushin raise a question, how can you have an Abakanan who has Kesef? And he buys his way out to freedom. Mashikana Evakana Rabbo. Evakanani doesn't have any money. So he could have said, maybe he had money before he became an Evakanani. Mashikana Evakana Rabbo only goes whatever mama the Evakanani acquires while he's an Evakanani, it goes to the other. Whatever he had before he sold himself as an Evakanani belongs to him. But the Tanaim say, even without that, you can have Kesav Aidea Cherim. Someone else, some good Samaritan, will give $100,000, $500,000, whatever, $1 million to the Odon and say, I want you to free the Evakanani, here's $1 million. So the Mishnah says that's acceptable. Kesef Aideh Acherim. If someone else gives the Kesef on behalf of the Evakanani should go to Acheris, even though it really should be, let's say, when I buy a field from you, so Karkas Niknas Bekesef. So who gives the Kesef to whom? The Makna gives $1 million to the Kaina, or the Kaina gives $1 million to the Makna? The Lakeh gives $1 million to the Meicher. He pays for the karka. So when the Ebekanani wants to gain his freedom, so he should have to give the money to the Yodam. It should be because of the Yatzma. So one Tana says, one Tana doesn't accept Kesel Eidechem, only Kesel Eidechem. How do you have money? So the Tanoim explain how the Ebekanani can have money. And we pass in Kesel Eidechem is also good. That's called Kinyan Ebekanani. Whenever you have Kesef, it's not necessary, it's not absolutely necessary that the Kaina should give the Kesef. A third party can give the Kesef, let's say under the chuppah. So the rabbi asked, who has the ring? Nobody has the ring. The chosin couldn't afford a ring. He doesn't have a ring to give to the kallah. So if a good Samaritan steps up to the plate, and the chosin says, Hare Mekudeshesli, with the ring that my good friend is giving, out of the goodness of his heart, so Gemara said, Mekudeshes, Medin Ebekneini. The chosin has to Hare Mekudeshesli, but he doesn't have to give the kesef. Someone else can give on his behalf. So here also, when the Edom who signed the Ksuba or the Masada Kedushin fills out the Ksuba and says, we made a Kabbalah skin on behalf of the Kala, so really the Kala should come in and give her handkerchief to Kelo Shalkoina, she should give a handkerchief to the Chosin to make the Kinyan. So we say she doesn't have to come in. It's in her best interest. He owes him more money. So Zachni Adam Shalabifana. Fine. But how can we make the Kinyan Tzuri? You have to have Kelo Shalkoina. The handkerchief has to belong to the Kala. So that's what Taisa says, no problem. We didn't have a Knaini, just like a Knaini is good for Kedushi Kesef, it is good for Shechar Ebek Knaini, it's good to be kind of Karka. I want to buy your Karka. You say the Karka costs $10 million. You say I can't afford it. So if a good Samaritan steps up to the plate and he gives you the $10 million on my behalf, I'm kind of the Karka. But you need Kesef Shal Kaina. Halacha says Ebek Knaini is also good. If someone else gives the Kesef, is also good. So Taisa says we apply the principle of Ebek Knaini, someone else can give it. The Kenyan Suda also, even though you really should have required Caleb Shalkaina, the Kala is the Kaina here. She's acquiring the Shibud of the Tosefes Ksuba from the Chosin, so she should have to give her handkerchief. So that's the halacha. Anyone else that gives a handkerchief on the half of the kala is also good. And Taisa says, we always do like that. The Gemara says, in Perek HaZohav, the Gemara says, whenever you write a shtar, you always write, V'konina minei b'mona d'kosha l'mekanyebe. We, the undersigned, made the kinyan. How can we, the undersigned, make the kinyan? You're the Aden. You have to have kelo shel kaina. The kaina has to give the handkerchief. So Taisa says, you see, b'zman Gemara, that was the common practice. The kaina never gave his handkerchief. The Aden always gave, on behalf of the kaina, based on Zachal Yadam Shleibe Fana B'tziref the Kinyan of Evek Nani. So we do that all the time. Fine. So Rav Soloveitchik said, if the Balabas calls the last minute on Erev Pesach in the morning, he says to the rabbi, Rabbi, I forgot to come make a Kinyan. I want you to act as my shlich to sell the chametz on my behalf. So how can you fulfill this minik? So the Chazon Ish and the stipler were brothers-in-law. Stipler married one of the sisters. The Chazon Ish had a very big family. They were all around 12, 13 children. So half of the boys were all Rabbonim, and the daughters all married Rabbonim. The father was a Rav. So all the children were prominent Rabbonim. So they never made a Kabbalah's Kinyan Suda by the Mechiras Chametz, because the Rambam laughs at it. So Rav Soloveitchik says, it's not true. The Rambam first says that it's not necessary, and it doesn't accomplish anything, and it's worthless, but then he does knock sense into it. So Rav Soloveitchik was always very insistent. You have to observe that he was a big stickler in Hagen. Any minig that's in Shulchan Aruch, you got to observe. Unless a responsible person feels that it's a minig shtus. But he said, this is not a minig shtus. The Rambam explains it. Hilchas Mechir explains why. So he says, two ways to fulfill the minig when the Balabas calls up on the phone is that one way is, let the Balabas say, B'leib shalom gamarti v'amarti dovazeh. So then the Rambam says, then there's no need to have a king with it. And another way to fulfill a minig is, ask the Balabas, is there anybody there? He's calling from his office. And Erev Pesach, is there another Jew there in the office? Ask him to give you a handkerchief on my behalf. The rabbi should give a handkerchief to the Balabas to acquire the right of attorney, power of attorney, that he has a right to sell the chametz for him. But if someone else gives a handkerchief on behalf of the rabbi, that works midin avikanani. We do it all the time by the chasinus. We do all the time. Whenever you write a shtar, you write v'kanina minei, we the undersigned made the kinyan on behalf of the kaina. The kaina never gives the suda. So Rav Soloveitchik said, ask the Balabas on the phone, is there another Jew there in the office with you? Ask him to please give you a handkerchief on my behalf. And that'll be the kiyum of this minig of midin avikanani. You fulfill the minig to have a kinyan suda on the minor hashlichus. And when a husband appoints a shliach to give a get, also the minig is that you make a kinyan suda. Looks funny. What are you making kinyan suda about? But the Rambam says that's to demonstrate that b'leib shalom gamarti v'amarti dovazeh, that he's making the minig shlichus b'leib shalom.
So by suba, does the isha appoint the rabbis, or is it just?
She doesn't even know what they're doing. The girl doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't have the foggiest, and she doesn't have to know. Zochen liyodem shlebe funo. She's going to gain more money. Aye, but the handkerchief has to be hers. So that Tosfos says, no, it doesn't have to be hers. Midin avikanani, anyone can step up to the plate and act as a good Samaritan to give the their handkerchief on behalf of the girl.
Even if there's no das kaina.
You don't need das kaina because zochen liyodem shlebe funo. She stands to gain over here.
It's a great thing.
Yeah, she's getting more money.
Yeah.
The Ikek Ksuba is very little, so the Tosefes Ksuba is much more than the Ikek Ksuba. Tosefes is Merubah L'Ikek, Pi Kama.
Why does Rabbi say that it's Avikani and Zachin? Isn't it just Avikani?
No, Midin Avikani would be if the girl says, I agree to everything, do me a favor, and you give the handkerchief to my man. Here the girl doesn't even know what they're doing. Kala doesn't know what they're doing. So what right do they have? She never agreed to this. The answer is, you're doing a favor to her. She's getting more money. Instead of getting just a basic Ikek Ksuba, which is peanuts, Masayim Zuz is Mamish Garnish Meganish. So 50 Shkolim is very little. So she's going to get the Pikama, she's going to get the Tosefes Ksuba. So since it's L'Tayvasa, so we assume Zalcha Adam Shlavifan. If later on she finds out about it, she says, no, thank you, I don't want it. So she has a right to be Moicha, to undo the act of Zechiah. But at the time, she doesn't know what they're doing. So they have a right to do it based on Zochin. And the Avikanani is needed because you need Caleb Shalkoina. What does it help Zochin Adam Shalfan? But you have to have Caleb Shalkoina to make the Kenyan Suda. So that's not Avikanani. The Caleb Shalkoina is not to be taken literally. If someone else goes on behalf of the Kaina, it's also good. That's Midin Avikanani. Kesavai Deacherim. So that's what Tosfos starts off. It's unclear in the Gemara. We paskin like the Turin, like Rebbe Kivega, that the psak of the pshor is binding because it's a psak of a bezin. It's not binding because you agreed, because you committed yourself to pay. You don't have to commit yourself. We can't force a pshara on you, but once you agree to go with the root of pshara, the bezin issues a psaka of lifting mishuvas adin. Psaka is binding. Like if they would issue a psaka of din, the psaka would be binding because that's the halacha. So now the psaka of lifting mishuvas adin is binding. So why is pshara tzvicha kinyan? So Taisa says if the kinyan is made in advance of the deliberation of the bezin, so it's pshara tzvicha kinyan, like the Rambam explained over there. That the minig is that you do a kinyan when you appoint a shliach to halachas haget, or when you appoint a shliach to sell a chametz for you. What's the role of the kinyan suda there? The Rambam says there's no need for kinyan suda. It's not chal. It's like what you call kinyan dvar miyama. What do you mean? I transfer power. I give you the right, the ability to sell a chametz for me. So what am I making a kinyan on? And the minu shlichas. Minu shlichas doesn't need a kinyan. We would call that a kinyan dvar miyamos. It's a garnish ben garnish. But the Rambam says, yeah, it's garnish, but it's a demonstration that it's belayf shalom. So that's what Taisa says. If you're not going to make a kinyan, pshara tzvichi kinyan, if you're not going to make a kinyan, and then we tell the guy afterwards, the pshara is you have to pay $5 million. The guy's going to start choking. He said, that I never agreed to. So that may be a chisorin in the whole haskama to the pshara. And you can't do pshara bal karcha. You have to have haskama. So it'll be a glory Muslim affair. I never dreamt that I'll have to pay. So Taisa says, if you make a Kabbalah's Kenyan, that means that it's Belef Shalom, even if they're going to say an outrageous amount of money, whatever they say is binding.
Or Kenyan Betalos. You can't say Kenyan Betalos.
Even though if it wouldn't have made a Kenyan, you can say it's a Haskama Betalos. Even if it made a Kenyan, the din is that a Kenyan Betalos is not valid. So Taisa says, no. Once he made the kinyan, like over there, the Rambam says you appoint a shliach, so maybe he's kidding around. So if they make a kinyan, also maybe he's kidding around. So the Rambam says no, the kinyan suit is a demonstration that is belayf shalom. So here also, the kinyan suit is a demonstration that is belayf shalom. Why should that be so? Why should you say that kinyan? The kinyan suit, it's also kinyan dvar miyam. How do we answer it? The kinyan is not that I obligate myself to pay him money if the bezin will say I have to pay. Kinyan is that I agree to a pshara. That's like a kinyan dvar b'alma. A kinyan has to be makna a specific item, or to be makna 10 pound potatoes. I have 100 pounds of potatoes. I makna 10 pounds to you, or I makna an amount of money to you, a schum mamin. So how does it help over here? So Rav Soloveitchik explained a little more. The thesis here has three parts to the Tosfos. So the first part, this gigantic Tosfos, Pshara Tzvicha Kinyan. So the first part they discuss, when is the Kinyan made? Before the deliberation, after the deliberation, who makes the Kinyan? That's the first part. Then the second part of Tosfos, they prove that Mechila ain't a Tzvicha Kinyan, second topic. Then the third topic starts on the last line. Vikan Chazar Rabbeinu Yitzchak B'Rab Martcha Shahi Roga Lefaresh. There is a Gemara in Cheskes Abatim. Wadaf Mem. Daf Mem. The Gemara says Kinyan. A lot of times when the Gemara, the Rambam say Kinyan, means Kinyan Suder. There it means Kinyan Suder. A lot of times the Rambam will spell it Kinyan Kuf Nun Yud Yud Nun. When it means Kinyan Suder, he'll write with two Yuds. When you make it, there's a Kinyan Hagbo, Kinyan Chalib, a Kinyan Meshicha, a Kinyan Chazok, a Kinyan Kesef, all kinds of Kinyan. That's spelled with one Yud. When the Rambam means Kinyan Suder, Kinyan Chalib, and Kinyan Suder, then he puts two Yuds a lot of times. Just to know what he's talking. So the Gemara says there, Kinyan Lifnei Shnayim, Vein Tzarech Lamer Ksoivu. Gemara says, if I obligate myself to give you $100,000 and we made a Kinyan in the presence of two witnesses, you gave me a handkerchief. If I just say, I hereby obligate myself to give you $100,000, period. So the Rambam holds that it's binding. If you have a tangible object, hamekach ena nikna midvarim. The first paragraph of Halach Nuchas Mechira, the Rambam writes, ein hamekach nikna midvarim. If you have a tangible object, the karka metaltalim, you can't transfer ownership just by making an oral declaration. Against Din al-Machusa here in New York, they say, I'm metaltalim, you can transfer ownership just by making an oral declaration, a karka not. So the Halacha says, both on karka and metaltalim, ein hamekach nikna midvarim. Just by making a declaration, you can't transfer ownership. But the creator, his chayvus mamon, the Rambam sheet is that he can create. That's how the Rambam happens to hold. The Mechaber quotes that Rambam. I think it happens to be Simen Mem in Chosha Mishpat. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's Daf Mem in Baba Basra. But the Mikra happens to be Simen Mem in Chosha Mishpat. Mechaber quotes that Rambam. And all the Ktsoi says it can't be, it's impossible. There is no such Rambam. Bottom line, there is. The Rambam holds like that. But it's a Shita Yechidah. Rav HaRishonim do not agree with the Rambam. So the famous, the Ktsois couldn't even believe it that the Rambam said it. So the famous is the Shita's Bali HaTesis. Tesis says, Bekamim comes like that. Will be later in Sanhedrin when we learn the Sugya of Asmachta Kanya, Asmachta Lo Kanya, in the third period. So the Shita's Bali HaTesis is that if I want to accept upon myself an obligation to pay him an amount of money, it won't be binding unless we made a Kinyan Sudim. If I just say, I'd like MSF to give you $100, I can always back out. Not mukhayif to pay. So how do you create an obligation? So you have to make a Kinyan Sudr. So I say, I want to obligate myself to give you $100. So you say, you'd like to make a Kinyan that I shouldn't back out. That's how I'll be happy. So you give me a handkerchief. So the Kinyan, Bifnei Shnayim, if the Kinyan Sudr is done in the presence of two witnesses, and I say, by accepting the handkerchief, I obligate myself to give you a gift of $100 out of the clear blue sky. That's also, in American law, there is no such thing.
In consideration.
It's not in consideration of anything, just out of the clear blue sky. I didn't harm you, I didn't insult you, I didn't take any merchandise. So in American law, it doesn't exist. But in halacha, you can create a hischaivus out of the clear blue sky, not in consideration of anything, not in exchange for anything that he gave to me. You can create. That's a sugya in ksubas, daf kuv beis amaral. Chayv ali lachmana b'shtar. You can create his chayvus mammon either with the kinyan suder or by writing a shtar. Either one way or the other, you can create his chayvus yeshmeya. So that's the poshib shat in the Gemara Cheskes Abatim, daf mem amen aleph there. Is that what it says? I can't read one. What does it say? Daf nun zayin? It doesn't say daf mem. In the top line. Daf mem. Okay. So I thought it was daf mem, yeah. So the Gemara says, Kinyan b'fnei shnayim v'ein tzach lamek seifel. If I made the Kinyan in the presence of two witnesses, the two witnesses have a right to write a shtar. They don't even have to consult me. If I scream, don't write a shtar, they can write a shtar. That's mitpiyam v'lom piksavim. They can't write a shtar unless I authorize them. But if you stam kinyan v'ksiv ha'imen, when you made a Kinyan suder in the presence of two witnesses, I made a Kinyan suder, to obligate myself to give you a matana of $100. You don't want me to be able to back out. They say they'd like to make a Kinyan to solidify it. But if the Kinyan was made in the presence of two witnesses, they have a right to write a shtar without consulting me. So that's the simple reading of the Gemara. So this Bala Tezer, Rabbi Nitzchak, Rabbi Mordechai, was of the opinion that that line in the Gemara has two dinim. Kinyan b'fnei shnayim, semicolon. Kinyan Suda always has to be done in the presence of two witnesses. If you make a Kinyan Suda not in the presence of two witnesses, it's not chal, it's not binding. You need Eidus L'Kiyum Adava. We're familiar with Eidus L'Kiyum Adava as a Gemara in Kiddushin, Adav Samavav. The Gemara says, a boy and a girl were together, and the boy gives the girl a ring, Hariyat Mekudeshesli, and there are no witnesses. So the Gemara says, Hafilu hu behi shnei moedim. He admits, and she agrees. So the din is that the Kiddushin are not chal. You have to have Eidus L'Kiyum Adava. Without Eidus L'Kiyum Adava, it's not chal. And the Rina Tam says in the Taisus in Gitna and Dalar Aman Aleph, a big fat Taisus, and Dalar Aman Aleph, Rabbi Natam says, same is true regarding a get. If you give a get, and then no Eidus L'Kiyum Adav, the get is not chal. So we're used to thinking, Eidus L'Kiyum Adav is only in Eindav Shebiyavah Pachas Mishnayim. A get in Kiddushin, you have to have Eidus L'Kiyum Adav. But in Mamanis, the Gemara says, Mamanis, let's say, the grocer is selling Cheerios in the morning with a bottle of milk or whatever. They're selling a coffee in the coffee shop in the Starbucks, whatever. You have to have Eidus L'Kiyum Adav, that the Kinyan should be chal. No, you don't. The Gemara says, Le'ibri Sahadi, Alo L'Shakri. The Gemara says, there in Kiddushin, on that daf, on daf Samachay. The whole institution of Sahadi, Eidim, and Mamanis, is someone's going to deny a Shakran, if someone's going to deny that he agreed to the Kinyan, they have to have witnesses to testify. But if no one's going to be Meshaker, then there's no need for Eidus L'Kiyum Adav and Dini Mamas. Only needed by Dov Shebiyeva, by Gittin Kiddushin. There's even a machloikas, a question, whether you need Eidus L'Kiyum Adav by Chalitza. You always have a bezin by Chalitza. But the meaning is that in addition to the bezin sitting, you have five dayanim sitting. In addition to the five sitting, you have two people standing to serve as Eidim L'Kiyum Adav. So that's the question, is that's the common practice. So that's the question, is that really needed? Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has in his Sefer on the Rambam a whole discussion. He thinks the Rambam holds that it's not necessary. There's no din at all. Vedas l'kim adover by chalitza. It's only adover shebiyerva by gittin mikidusha. See here, this Rabbeinu, the Rivam, Rabbeinu Yitzchak, Rav Mordechai, understood that the Gemara there in Bava Basra Daf Mem has two statements. Kinyan mifnei shnayim, semicolon. Kinyan suda must be done in the presence of two edim. You need edus l'kim adover for kinyan suda. Then there's another statement, Vein tzach lai mekseivu. And he doesn't have to authorize the edim. He doesn't have to give them permission to write the shtar, because it's self-understood that stam kinyan l'ksiv aymer. If you don't say one way or the other, it's self-understood that you're authorizing the edim to write a shtar. And all the and the Bali Atesis say that the Rivam backed out. All the Rishonim, most of the Rishonim disagree with the Rivam. They hold it's not two different sentences. There is no semicolon after kinyan mifnei shnayim. You read it like this quickly. If a kinyan suda was made in the presence of two witnesses, then they have the right to write a shtar without consulting the mischayev, because it's self-understood. It's implicit that there's dasam chay. But you don't put a semicolon in between kinyan suda. Always need shnei edim. There is no such din. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Mechira. He quotes the Gemara in Kedushin. Ba'iri sadi ela l'shakri. The institution of edus is only necessary if you're dealing with a shakran and mamonis. Never. You don't need shnei edim not for kinyan hagbor, kinyan mashicha, kinyan kesef, kinyan chazok. And he says kinyan suda. You never need shnei edim l'kiyam adov and mamonis. So the Rabbit says on the Rambam, not everybody agrees by kinyan suda. So the Rabbit in the Shittim Kobetzes on Baba Basra explains what he's talking about. He says the two kinds of kinyan chalipin. There's a Tosfos in Perek Hazov, quotes Rabbeinu Tam, says like there's two kinds of kinyan chalipin. There's one kind of chalipin shove b'shove. That's a Mishnah Hamachlif Parah B'Chamor in Bava Metzia Daf Kuf and Menalef. There's a Mishnah. The Gemara quotes it, the first daf in Bava Metzia that based on the base. Hamachlif Parah B'Chamor. I have 100 chamor. You have 100 paras. Once in a while, I need a parah. So I want to be machlif parah b'chamor. So it's a chalipin shove b'shove. I'll give you one of my chamorim if you give me one of your parahs. So that's chalipin shove b'shove. So that's one kind of chalipin. Barter, plain old barter. So kimish konezeh, when I give you a parah, so I'm kind of the chamor. We designated which I'm kind of the chamor. Then there's another chalipin. There's another chalipin that we call kinyan suder. I buy a building that's worth $10 million and I give you a handkerchief. I'm going to have to pay you the $10 million. It's not that this is the payment for the $10 million building. I give you the handkerchiefs just a symbolic act of the kinyan. So that's chalipin of suda. So that's based on the Pasuk in Megillas Rus. V'zos lefanim Yisrael, this was always the practice. L'kaim kol dovro, ala gulav, ala tmur, l'kaim kol dovro, shalof, ishnal, v'nosin, l'reyeyu. And that constitutes a kinyan also. Not only chalipin shove b'shove, but chalipin that's barter, but even chalipin of suder is also good. So the Rabbit says chalipin shove b'shove is the same as kinyan chazoka and kinyan kesef and kinyan hagbo and kinyan meshicha, all the other kinyanim. You don't need edus l'kiyam adov, but the kinyan suder, chalipin of kinyan suda, that symbolic act, I give you a handkerchief and I acquire ownership of the building, now I have to pay you the $10 million. So the Rabbit holds over there. He holds like this, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Mordechai. He holds that there you do need edus l'kiyam adov. He puts a semicolon. He doesn't reject it. He holds kinyan mifnei shnayim semicolon. Kinyan suder needs edus l'kiyam adov. Why? Manishtana, why should kinyan suda be different from all the other kinyanim? That you should require edus l'kiyam adov. So Leitchik used to say, was very fond of the following Dvar Torah. Whenever there was a possibility to say it, they would always smuggle it into the Shia. Every year and a half, every 2 years, they'd always smuggle us into the Shia. They'd go through all the rayas. That the Nesivus has a klal that he got from the Pnei Yeshua in the second parak in Gittin. That Kinyani Karka don't work on Betaltalim, Kinyani Betaltalim don't work on Karka. Gemara says if you have an otzit, you have a flower pot with something growing. So if it's an otzit, nokob, it has a hole on the bottom, then we assume it's yonik from the ground, so whatever grows in the flower pot is dinik and mechuba the karka. And if it's an otzit shein a nokob, it doesn't have a hole on the bottom, then it's not yonik from the ground below, so it's metaltalim. So if it's yonik from the ground below, it's dinik and karka, so it's nikne bikinyonik karka, nikne bechazoka. And if And if it's an otzit she'en anokah, but doesn't have a hole in the bottom, then it's dinik metaltalim, so it's nikne bikinyoni metaltalim, and it's not nikne bikinyoni karka. So the Bnei Yeshua points out on that Gemara, and the Nesibis quotes it. Most of the big Yisraelis come from the Bnei Yeshua. Bnei Yeshua is a gewaldige sefer. People in our generation, they become such brisker, they frown upon the Bnei Yeshua. Bnei Yeshua is a fantastic sefer. So the Bnei Yeshua says, you see, from that Gemara, a klal. Kinyoni karka don't work on metaltim, kinyoni metaltim don't work on karka. So manishtani kinyi chalipin, how come chalipin works either on karka or on metaltim? So the Rishonim answer, they have in the Balei HaTosis from Kisvei Yad, they printed it, because it says, Megillas Ruach L'kayim kol dover. Means it works on anything and everything. Unlike, it's not a kinyan hamyuchad b'karka, it's not a kinyan hamyuchad b'metaltalim. Kinyan chazaka is miyuchad b'karka. Kinyan hagbon shiche is miyuchad b'metaltalim. Kinyan chalipin is not miyuchad for anything. So the pasuk says l'kayim kol dover. But there's another thing also unusual. Kinyan chalipin is good to be kind of either karka or metaltalim, or to create his chayvus moment. I want to obligate myself to give you $100, so we make a kinya suda, and it's legally binding. If we wouldn't make a kinya suda, I would have the right to back out. Now that we made kinya suda, I can't back out. So it's mamish, literally, the kain kodov works on karka, amatatlam, and the creator, his chaybus also. That's they have a drug in the drugstore, whatever you have, whether you have a bellyache, or you can't read, or you can't, whatever is the problem, you take this aspirin, it works for everything. How can it be that kinya chalipin works for anything and everything? The kain kodov, the Gemara had a havamin on daf gimel in Kiddushin, the kinya suda is good to create a marriage. Then the Gemara says the whole reason why it's no good. Why? What was the Havaminikah? It says, L'kayim kodover. That's what the Baal HaTos says. L'kayim kodover. Good for anything and everything. How come it's good for anything and everything? So Reb Chaim explained, well, Baruch Ber quotes this, B'Shem Reb Chaim, in the end of his Sefer, B'Cha Shmuel, end of the Sefer on Kedusha. But Reb Baruch Ber's Sefer was so poorly written, so people don't understand what he said. So Reb Soloveitchik explained it. He didn't know Reb Baruch Ber wrote it. He explained it in terms that you can understand. He said that kinyan chalipin, basically, when you give a suda, is just a symbolic act that there's a gemiras das over here. Whenever there's a strong gemiras das, then you can akne karka or metaltalim b'das alone. It's not, you see, chazoka is a kinyan, you're showing that you are bailam. In hagboa and meshicha, you're machnesin into your rishus. It's the same as yad and chotze. Yad and chotze work by natura, are metaltalim, and hagboa and meshicha work by the rabbonim. But kinyan chalipin is just a demonstration that there's a strong gemiras das. Whenever there's a very strong gemiras das, then you can be makne ownership of the bien without any need for a maisa kinyan. It's not that chalipin is a kinyan. Chalipin is not a maisa kinyan. Chalipin is just a symbolic act to demonstrate b'leif shalom gamarti v'amarti dover zeh, like the Rambam explained. So that's the explanation for the Rambam. That's the explanation for the Tosfos. What do you mean? He didn't mean a shlichas. You're afraid maybe he didn't really mean it to make a kinyan suda. But the Rambam said kinyan suda is meaningless. He said, yeah, it's meaningless, but the whole idea always of kinyan suda is, when you have a kinyan suda, then you cut into the karka and the tatlum without any maisi kinyan. There is no maisi kinyan. Kinyan suda is just a similar dava that there's a strong gemiras das. So that's why it's good l'kaim called dava for anything and everything. For karka, for metatlum, and the creator his chayvus as well. So that's explaining. That's to explain why the Rambam said by the Mechiras Chometz that when you appoint the Shliach Halachas Haget, you make a Kinyan Suda just to demonstrate that he's doing it b'gemiras das. He really means it, and that's the explanation in the Taisus also, according to the first suggestion that the Shorat Tzvicha Kinyan, the Kinyan is done in advance of the deliberations of the Bezdin. And what's the purpose of the Kinyan? Not to be mischaivus of to pay if the Bezdin will pass and you have to pay. No. Bezdin says you have to pay because it's a psaka bezdin. Like if they were paskin din, so if they paskin shor is also a psak. Psaka lefnim shor is a din. The pshara tzvicha kinyan is that he shouldn't say later on that he agreed to the pshara betos, that it was haskama betos. It's like b'leib shom gamarta v'amarta dovazeh. So the reason why it works by the pshara and by the mechiras chametz, by the minu shliach, because that's what kinyan suda always is. Kinyan suda always means a symbolic act to demonstrate that he really means a b'leif shalom. So that's why the Ravid is of the opinion, Mishlam Melech raises this possibility, and Rav Chaim has it in his Sefer, what is the role of Eidus L'Kayim HaDavar by Gittin HaKiddushin? What is it all about? Just a chok? A gzeiros HaKasuv? that kiddushin is not chal unless it's covered with rayas edim, unless they're two edim. That's the exeris hakasa. So Rav Chaim thinks that it means more than that, based on a Mishlah Melah. Chaim and the Mishlah Melah say no. Git mekiddush need a higher level of das. Not all things need the same level of das. So kiddushin is more serious than selling a house. You're going to be stuck with that wife for the rest of your life. So that's a major decision. So you need a higher level of das. Then to divorce the wife, you need a higher level of das. Rav Chaim has a chokas. To divorce, you need a higher level of das than to marry her in the first place. And to marry her, you need a higher level of das than stam buying or selling. That means a higher. And then buying or selling, you need a higher level of das than is needed for nedarim. For nedarim, the halacha says even a year before bar mitzvah, also you can make a neder. That's a muflo samach liish. And you can declare, you can make a hataras nedarim. The guy said, if I would have realized, I would have never made the neder. And that's called the neder betois. And the bezin says, okay, neder mekar. So if you buy real estate and the value goes down, and you say, if I would have realized it's going to go down, I would never have bought it. You buy stocks and they go down, and you say, if I would have realized, or you get married, and you say, if I would have realized that she's not going to be a good wife, so I would never have married her. So you can't do that. There's no Hataras Nedarim there. You only have Hataras Nedarim by Nedarim Meshavuos, those kind of things, because it's a lower level of Das. So it's easier to bring, easy come, easy go. It's easier to express such a Das, even here before Bar Mitzvah. Such a das is valid, and it's easier to push it away, it's easier to blow it off, to declare it as a toy. So there are different degrees of das. So since Git and the Kiddush need a much higher level of das than is needed by Mekach and Memkar, so that's why you need Eidus Likim Adav. So even in Mekach and Memkar, the Ravid's opinion is, if you're talking about Kinyan Suder, Chalipin of Suder, not Chalipin Shavu B'Shavu, Chalipin Shavu B'Shavu, is bartered the same as any other kinyan. So the Raiva doesn't require Eidus Likim Ad over there. But Chalipin of Suder, what is it? There's nothing there. The whole thing is just a symbolic act to demonstrate that he has a strong Gemira's Das. So it's only considered a strong Gemira's Das if it's expressed in the presence of two Eidim. We used to have a dean here in the college in my time. We used to have a dean. He always used to make deals with the students individually. He used to say, Beneinu lebein atzmeinu, whatever. And then he used to back out later. So the students, and there were no Eidim. He would back out. There were no Eidim. If you have Eidim, so it's like you express the Das in public, the Eidim will come, and it's like, say, expressing on international TV. The whole world is watching. So they have two Eidim. That's a stronger Gemira's Das. If there's no Eidim watching, then there's no Gemira. It's a weaker Gemira's Das. Das was not expressed in public. So that's why there was such a Shita. The Taisvei HaRosh, this same Taisis appears in Kiddushin. the last third of Taisis, where they need Eidus Likim Adover by Kinyi Chalipin, that they reject the Rivam, the Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Mordechai. So the Taisvei HaRosh says, he doesn't understand what the whole discussion is. Why was there a Havamina? Why should anybody in his right mind have a Havamina that you need Eidus Likim Adav? The answer is that not only was a Havamina, the Ravid holds it lemaskana. And the reason why is because Kinyi Chalipin is only a symbolic act of Gemira's Das. So since it's just Gemira's Das, Das Alimta, so the worry Shadim will hold that. For that you need Eidus Likim Adav.
If it's only a symbol of Gemira's Das, then why could you just do it to Kiss Kaf or something else and that would be good as well?
So it says, Zosel Fonim Yisrael. The Gemara is Das, is by this. Some Mishanim hold that Kis Kaf is also good. It's a bris. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if Eden are good enough to give a strong, you're saying they have a strong Das by themselves, why do you need the Kenyan part? If you need having the Kenyan Suter and the Eden Edekim.
Right, so that's
why
the answer.
Kenyan
Suda is not a Kenyan. It's just a symbolic act that I really mean it.
Right, but also saying in front of Edim, like in Kiddushin and Gidin, is the same thing.
Right.
So it's just.
Yeah, by Gidin and Kiddushin, you need the Gerishin, but to accomplish the higher level of Das, you have to have the Eidus Likim Adav. And here, all you need is the higher level of Das.
Right.
So you just express the Das in public and the presence of the Edim. You do a symbolic act to demonstrate that you have the Das. But the giving of the handkerchief. Gemara has a machloek, is bekelev shalkayne, bekelev shalmakne. Then there's one taisa says, there's one opinion, it's optional. Either bekelev shalkayne, bekelev shalmakne. How can it be it's optional? It doesn't matter whether they're... How can it be it's optional? So that's the answer. It's just a symbolic act to demonstrate that the fuller Gemara's Das, then the Gemara's Das accomplishes alone. Okay, B'li Neda will continue tomorrow. Tomorrow, what time is here tomorrow?
9:15.
So how long?
45 minutes.
till 10.
Yeah, it's officially supposed to be in Yonah Diyoma, but.
Yonah Diyoma.
It's also in Yonah Diyoma.
Okay, I'll give it in Yonah Diyoma. Good. Good. So we'll figure out tomorrow what it's going to be. The Stipler has a good piece on the second part of the Tosis, but the Mechila and the Tzvich HaKinya, why not? They quote three different explanations. Why Mechila and the Tzvich HaKinya? Okay.